Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we are. It is Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio. We'll be on FS1 in 15 minutes. First 10 minutes, we're on FS2. It's a NASCAR bump thing, and Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, I have to start the show with this. I'm driving to work. I wake up this morning after another terrifying nightmare.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter you had some bad dreams.
I just thought about this. I have never in my life gone to bed and had a dream that ends well. I'm either running from pirates, getting swallowed whole by snakes, I'm falling off a cliff, my teeth fall out, I'm being attacked by strangers. I have never once had a dream where, like, I get a knock at the door, knock, knock, knock. Hi, I'm your neighbor. I just made you some chili con carne. Really? Yeah, just enjoy it.
And
it
was delicious. You've never had a good dream.
I've never had a dream that ended well with somebody walks up to me and says, I went to Home Depot, they had wrenches on sale, here's a wrench. Random guy. Not one time. Ever had a good dream. I've had dreams I don't remember, but I've never had a dream end well. Have you?
Yeah, I've had good dreams before.
Really? It's happy. Rainbows. You land safely, long, you know, cross the world global flight.
Sure.
Really? Everything to me is a...
I mean, most dreams are like weird or bad dreams.
No, it's
but
exhausting.
Yeah, I've had good dreams before.
I am exhausted last night.
You should look into that.
Yeah, I should.
Maybe some meditation or something.
It's just exhausting.
Something you're eating before bed.
I mean, it's like what was that guy that was... Indiana Jones. I'm Indiana Jones every dream. I'm running from people, running from giant boulders.
The teeth falling out thing seems stressful. That would stress me out.
Okay. I'm just tired. All right. But I've got the energy for the show today. And here's the show. Jay Glazer reports yesterday. He's got inside sources and stuff that Taysom Hill will be the guy after Drew Brees. It's official. He's going to be the starting quarterback. Let Teddy Bridgewater go. Taysom Hill is the guy. For me, I've grown up watching football. He doesn't look like a franchise quarterback. He's really athletic. And 5 years ago, I would have said no. But I was thinking about this morning. The world's changed. If you would have told me 10 years ago, hey, listen, you're going to just get into strangers' cars and they're going to take you places. What? Yeah, and sometimes they'll go to restaurants, grab food, and bring it home. Who? Friends? No, strangers. Total strangers. I don't know them. Nope. It's going to be called Uber. In fact, you'll let your teenage daughter jump into a car and go to a friend's house. You know, as long as she's with a friend. My teenagers? Yeah, they'll just get into a stranger's car. And that's the reality. That's a real economy. It's changed transportation in America. It literally has changed transportation. DUIs have gone down because of Uber. Parking garages are dying because of Uber. Kids don't want to drive cars anymore because of Uber. If I'd have told you 5 years ago, maybe three, Joe Rogan will sign a contract and make more money doing a podcast than 99% of all radio people make annually, except Rush Limbaugh. I mean, someday I could just stay home? No makeup? No long drive? Makes a radio guy think. Joe Rogan now makes more than all the radio people just doing a podcast in his underwear at home. Never has to leave. Hang out with his kids. Kids, give me 2 hours. I'm going to do a podcast. That's the reality. People are getting rich, because they have a nice podcast. And Joe does a great job. If I'd have told you 7 years ago, yeah, people, they're just going to release movies to your house. What about the theater? Oh, nobody goes to the theater anymore. If I'd have told you that 6 years ago, 5 years ago, 73% of people now say they prefer watching movies at home. They don't want to go to the theater. Maybe it's safety. Who knows? You ever gone to a theater, sat in those seats, and thought, if somebody walked in here, there's only one exit I have. I'm sure others have. But that's the reality is. People would rather not pay $13 for a popcorn and $22 for a... and then sit into an area where there's no real emergency exit you think you could get to. These are all true now. And they weren't 5 and 6 years ago. In 2020, I look at Taysom Hill and I think, Sean Payton's his coach. Got a great GM. you know, Brady and Matt Ryan and Teddy Bridgewater in his division, one of those guys is going to be out of football soon. I think he's a gadget guy, but the world's changed. Why not? Why not? The winners in life adapt. The losers going forward are stubborn and rigid. Maybe this is the future of the NFL. You get your best athlete. Taysom Hill's an unbelievable athlete. I mean, he is. He can catch, he can run, he can block. You just put your best athlete at quarterback and you figure it out later. By the way, there's Taysom Hills all over the country in high school right now. They're not as good a thrower as another kid on the roster, but they just make more plays and the coach designs an offense. And, I mean, Lamar Jackson, I watched him and I thought, boy, he's a project. I think it's going to work. I said it on the show, but a year later, he's the MVP. There's Taysom Hills all over high school football. Increasingly, you're seeing a few in college. I never even thought Jalen Hurts 4 years ago was an NFL prospect. I'm serious. I looked at him and I thought that he's a good college player. He got drafted in the second round. And my takeaway is he'll play this year. So now, there are questions about him. Nick Wright this morning, first things first, brings up a couple of interesting points.
I am doubting everyone within the Saints that thinks this is viable or a plausible option. Some facts about Taysom Hill. When the next NFL season starts, he'll be 30 years old. He will go into his age 30 season with his career high for pass completions in a game being at one. He's literally never completed more than one pass in any game, and he's only completed seven passes, including the playoffs, in his career.
So let me address the age thing. 30's the new 26. Nutritional standards, trainers. I mean, I'm 55. I can run a 6:15 mile. Why? I eat better. I work out. There's better machines to work out on. There's better trainers out there. We're all younger. People look younger. People are more active. People are moving around. Vegan is not just a come and go thing. It's a here to stay thing. People eat longer. They live longer. They look better. If you're willing, not everybody, we have 36% obesity, but if you're willing to embrace good eating, you're going to live longer. Tom Brady, I swear to God, he's got a medicine somewhere. He looks younger now than he did 7 years ago. We joke about it. He looks younger today. Why? He's married to a supermodel. They probably have great skincare products. They eat really well. It's the reality of it. They stay mostly out of the sun, or he didn't. Easier to do in Boston than Tampa. Let me talk about the passes thing. Well, he's got no passes. Yeah, either did Lamar Jackson when he won a bunch of games and got to the playoffs. No rookie quarterbacks have passes in the NFL until they get into the NFL. I know Taysom Hill can pass because Sean Payton's his coach, and Sean Payton likes him, and he sees him pass in practice. I don't need a guy to have a bunch of passes. How many passes did Jimmy Garoppolo have in the NFL before he made $25 million a year? Josh Allen didn't have any passes in the NFL either. Last year, he got to the playoffs. Year before that, I watched him at Wyoming. He looked awful. I saw him play Iowa and Oregon. He looked awful. A year later, he's throwing passes in the NFL. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, my takeaway is Lamar Jackson came into this league with passing questions. He's the MVP. I just look at the world today, and I'm like, I don't say no to anything. I just don't say no to anything. I am open for business. I have no idea what's happening. I mean, when I first started in this business, and not to date myself, but I was on AM radio, and Joy knows this. So every month you waited for the ratings from AM radio. And then sports radio went to FM. So I was on AM and FM. Ooh. And then it was Sirius XM. Ooh, I got three platforms to crush. And then they started doing simulcasts. And then there's this thing called digital. And then there's podcasting. And then now we have a YouTube channel. And last year I got 330 million views on Facebook. I now have a sheet with 9 different platforms I'm on, and we can monetize all of them. Some way better than others. That's my world. It's just platform developed, platform dies. Platform develops, platform dies. New York Times, used to read it, right? You'll hold the ink in your hands. Now they make all their money on digital. You read it online. I read the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. I read them online. Why would I want the newspaper in my house? I've told the story before. I used to read news. I was a newspaper guy. I just read them all day long. I love newspapers. I lived in Portland, Oregon. And all of a sudden, one day, it was an ice storm. And I went out to look for my newspaper. And I'm like, I couldn't find the newspaper. You know how somebody would throw it out of their car? And I look, it's in the bush. And it was stuck in a bush in an ice storm. And I went over and I got scissors and I slipped and almost jabbed my eye out and I cut it out. And that day I said, I'm not going to subscribe to a newspaper. It was the Oregonian. It was a fine newspaper, still is. And I said, I'm just done with it. I just can read stuff online. And so Taysom Hill, I look at it and I think, 5 years ago, I'm not even sure he's on the roster. And today I'm like, well, Sean Payton likes him. The hell do I know? 30's the new 26. They say he's the best athlete on the team. He can do everything. It probably works.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I am in no way blaming MJ and LeBron for this, but here's a reality. Because of professional athletes in the NBA make more money on shoes than their contracts. Michael Jordan's made 1,000 times more money on his shoes than his contracts. And I would do the same thing. It's a branding war. It's Coke versus Pepsi. Jordan and LeBron is Coke versus Pepsi. They're both incredibly aware of each other's brand going forward because, as Jordan has proved, it pays you 20 years after you retire. So I don't think it's a coincidence that once the Jordan documentary started, LeBron had opinions on it. Hey, I'm watching it too. The minute it ended, LeBron went out with 4 or 5 big, strong opinions. My dream team would have beaten his team. My redeem team would have beaten his dream team. I would have been a great teammate of Michael Jordan. I don't think it's a coincidence. I read this story a couple days ago that LeBron just happened to talk about. Just all the years LeBron's been playing, story just happened to come out that LeBron in 2011 was offered a Cowboy contract. So funny that never came out until the Jordan documentary talking about his baseball career. Folks, I was born at night, not last night. What's the old saying? Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. You think LeBron just buried this story for 9 years? It comes out after the Jordan documentary. LeBron is very calculated and very smart, and I know his handlers, and so are they. By the way, the only reason MJ did this doc, he agreed to it the day LeBron was hoisting the trophy in a Cleveland Cavalier parade in Ohio. That's why I think The Last Dance will now face The Last Chance. This is LeBron's last year to win it. The salary cap is going down because of revenues dropping. It's a bad free agency class this year, and there's no money for it, and the Lakers have shown no interest paying a big luxury tax. It is not a good draft. There's no help on the horizon. Anthony Davis isn't even going to make nearly as much as he thought. This is an old roster. The Clippers are a young roster, and they're young and old, and the Clippers are getting better and better and better. The Clippers are only going to get better over time because they have all these young players and all these moving parts. The Lakers are an old roster. This is their last shot. That's why this year is so important. We talked Last Dance. This is Last Chance. This is just a branding war. This is not like the NFL. There is no Tom Brady's revenue on his brand is peanuts. Peanuts compared to the 7th best NBA shoe deal. Harden, Westbrook, whatever it is. Michael Jordan is making $145 million a year 20 years after he played. LeBron James will make not that much, but hundreds of millions of dollars 10 years after he's played. This is why it's so important to keep your name relevant, to make sure you stay in a slot. Nobody will ever surpass Jordan, but Jordan felt a little heat when LeBron won in Cleveland, and Jordan's like, okay, I'll do the documentary. And Jordan feeling, LeBron feeling a little heat when LeBron's the most talked about because of a pandemic and there's no games and 6 million people are watching it. And he's like, you know, I was offered a contract by the Cowboys. None of this stuff is a coincidence. It's a branding war. It's Coke versus Pepsi, just with faces we know, not big monolithic brands. I'm here for it, by the way. I want to see the NBA. I think we'll get the NBA across my fingers. And I think the Lakers have a shot to win it, although I'll take the Clippers first. Lakers second, Bucks third, Celtics fourth.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Some companies do certain things really well. Like Starbucks does coffee really well. They do atmosphere really well. the decor, the atmosphere. It kind of makes you feel like an intellectual. You go and you drink and you think, ah, I feel like I'm a sophisticate. I'm just smarter being here. They have whiffed on a million things. They tried ice cream. Stores of the middleman took the profits away. It wasn't very good. They tried a blender. They had a blender. That didn't work. They had a magazine that was a disaster. They tried a Chantico. It was a chocolate drink, liquid chocolate. It was like drinking a truffle. It was awful. They couldn't figure their food out for 20 years. Their food was a mess. And they finally, about 10 years ago, found a bakery in Los Angeles now, and it works. They failed at a lot of stuff. I mean, at one point, they did a coffee brewer, which made no sense because that would keep people home out of your stores. They're like, let's create something that keeps people home. No, you want them to go to your stores. It was cheap and it bombed. They bombed on a lot of stuff. But they do the coffee thing well, and they do ambiance really well. They really have figured out. That's their thing. And, you know, they want to be global, and they want to be smart, and they want to fend off competitors, so they keep trying to create stuff, and it's mostly just bombs. And the Dallas Cowboys do offense really well. When Jason Garrett was there, Tony Romo, they draft offense well. I mean, God, they hit on every offensive lineman. They got Ezekiel Elliott. They're good at free agents, Amari Cooper. They bring Jason Witten back. This organization for 15 years, to me, has done offense really well. Part of it, I think, is Jerry Jones. It's the glitz. It's the glamour. He understands offense. Guys like me in talk shows talk about offensive stars, not interior tackles. So he gets it. Jerry likes the brand building of the Cowboys. They go get CeeDee Lamb in the first round. They needed a corner. They needed a defensive tackle. They needed a safety. They needed a lot. They needed a new center. They went and drafted a wide receiver. And I'm sure CeeDee Lamb will do fine. The last thing they needed was another 1,000-yard receiver. They had two of those, both in their prime. They didn't need another receiver. But they went and got a receiver. And so I haven't given this Alden Smith story any airtime. Alden Smith is back in the NFL. And I look at it and I roll my eyes and I think, this is what the Cowboys don't do well, defense. It's always a Hail Mary. Greg Hardy, 2015, Hail Mary. Randy Gregory, they were warned by smart people not to draft him. They drafted him. Alden Smith, out of the league for years, suspensions, you know, criminal past. This is their savior. Dallas doesn't do defense great. I don't think they have, you know, they went out and got Rod Marinelli and Mike Nolan. Those are older defensive coaches, old school guys. There's all sorts of young, innovative defensive coaches out there. It's just not what they do. And so I haven't given this story a lot of credibility. I don't think Dallas does defense particularly well. I think New England does. I think there's organization. I don't think New England does offense nearly as well. And I think you're going to see that now with Tom Brady gone. But when I look at this story, it kind of feels like a Hail Mary for Dallas. And, you know, I mean, it's not like they've whiffed on everybody. I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence is a really nice player, but they let Byron Jones go. And, you know, I like Vander Esch, but he got hurt, and Jalen Smith got hurt in college, and I think he's going to be a star if he can stay healthy. But when I look at Dallas and I look at football, I would say this, I do think offense is the future, and Dallas is good at it. I mean, they found Dak Prescott in the fourth round. There's another draft pick. Their offensive line had like four Pro Bowlers. They don't miss a lot on offense. I mean, did you watch their wide, was it Michael Gallup? Did you watch him in college? I mean, I love college football. I saw him in one game in college for about a quarter. I never watched him. He's a good player. So they figured out the offensive part, and maybe that's just, you know, I've for years, it's funny how it works in the NFL. Some of these companies, they just have strengths. Some of these programs, they just get certain positions right, and maybe it's a scout, maybe it's a coach. I'll give you an example. What New England doesn't get right. So I saw this. Pro Football Focus ranked every NFL receiving corps heading into this year. New England's 30th. They can't figure it out. Bill Belichick cannot draft a wide receiver to save his life. Can't do it. Been 15 years. Gronk's their last Pro Bowler at tight end or wide receiver. So, and by the way, where's Dallas on this list? Third. That's not even counting their offensive line. That's not counting Zeke. They have the third best receiving corps in the NFL. So, congratulations. You're really good at that. But that's, you know, that it's, I don't think, when I look at Dallas, I kind of see a hole in the company, is that I don't think they're innovative defensively. I don't think they put a lot of time into hiring the coaches defensively. I don't think they drafted generally that exceptionally well. They have good defensive players and they let them go. And so, like Alden Smith, it's like okay, here's another. This is another Hail Mary. They were warned not to draft Randy Gregory from people that knew him. It's like there's going to be problems. He's going to underachieve. No, I don't know Randy Gregory, but people were warned. And, you know, there was the Greg Hardy thing, and that was kind of a Hail Mary. And you kind of, you know, you reap what you sow. What you care about in life is what you'll be good at. Like, if you want to go to all your daughter's recitals or son's recitals and you're the super parent, you'll be great at that. If you're into your career, you'll be great at that. We all make choices on stuff. Dallas loves offense, drafts it, finds it, accumulates it. They find coaches to elevate it. They're very good at that. I like them. That part of it, they're good. Just can't stop anybody. I mean, they just struggle with that.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I had a very terrorizing night of nightmares last night. And I've talked in great detail today about none of my dreams ever end well.
You know, quarantine dreams are a thing too now.
What's that mean?
Like, everyone is having really crazy, elaborate dreams. Because I read up on it. Apparently, it's because we're not doing our normal routine. Most of us aren't. So our brains are kind of trying to fill its that space that
are
we would normally be using.
Are you having quarantine dreams?
I mean, I have, yeah. They've lessened over the past couple weeks, I think, because my body's just adjusting to a different environment. But,
I was chased by pirates last night. Never had one positive dream my whole life. Seriously.
Your scary dreams are so hilarious, though.
No, giant snakes swallowing me whole.
Like Johnny Depp pirates or real ones?
Yeah, like how scary
are
these
like guys
pirates?
On boats. I'm on
like
a boat.
Like modern day pirates?
Yeah, like I'm on a boat in the Caribbean and guys jump on the boat.
Oh, okay. So like real pirates.
Like the Tom Hanks movie.
Okay. That's a little scary.
That's probably the more rational explanation. You just put yourself in a Tom Hanks movie.
Yes, exactly.
So I got two things I want to talk about here, okay? I don't want to waste your time. So we just talked about this with the Dallas Cowboys. Offense is the future of the league. The rules, the regulations. I've talked to people actually in front offices about this, and we talk about this, and they agree with me that if you are sitting there in a draft room, I've talked to three different GMs in this. If you're sitting in a draft room and you got two players, just draft the offensive guy. He has a much greater chance. I mean, literally, slot receivers control games more than Khalil Mack, J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney. Slot receiver guy from, you know, Panera Bread State. I mean, that's what the league is because the rules have all changed it. And leagues become what the rules allow them to be. The NBA is now a shooter's league with no centers. Why? There's no physical play. You can't hand check. You can't lean on guys. It's a shooter's league. The NFL now, once they said the non-catch is a catch, you can't touch the quarterback, the wide receiver, it's an offensive league. And I do think it's affecting coaches. And this is why I do not buy into New England this year. I'll give you an example. You know how I think about Belichick. I think Belichick's in trouble. The three best defensive coaches in the NFL are Belichick, Tomlin, and Pete Carroll. Belichick, last 10 years, can't draft offense. He's very average at it. He struggles with that side of the football and personnel. Pete Carroll runs a 1980s offense. It's inflexible. It's not creative. And Russell Wilson basically has to save his arse every week. And Mike Tomlin doesn't win enough big games. Lack of attention to detail. Yet the older veteran offensive coaches in this league, Andy Reid, just won a Super Bowl and is absolutely flourishing. He's got a great eye for offensive personnel, a great eye for offensive coordinators, and an unbelievable ability to design plays. And Sean Payton. It's an advantage for the Saints and the Chiefs going forward. It's an offensive league. And New England thinks, oh, it's our system. Pro Football Focus has the New England Patriots receiving core at 30. And you think Jarrett Stidham is going to elevate him? Tom Brady could not elevate him. That's why Belichick wanted Brady back. They got no players. They got no tight ends. They got no wide receivers. So, and I'll tell you this. We think about Belichick as a legend, and I love him. But if he thinks system is going to win in this league, he's out of his mind. Bobby Knight was every bit as big as Belichick 20 years ago. College basketball was much bigger, and Bobby was the Belichick or bigger. I mean, he was going on late night talk shows. I ran a high school offense from Bobby Knight. I didn't run a high school football defense from Belichick or any defensive coach. That's how big Bobby Knight was. He created the motion offense. We all ran it in high school. Bobby Knight believed his system mattered more than talent, and he disappeared. He stopped recruiting. Greg Popovich wasn't as big as Belichick because the NFL is bigger than the NBA, but Popovich for 15 years, the system, the system. And then he started believing the system was bigger than Kawhi Leonard. And the Spurs are not relevant. They're not as relevant as the Utah Jazz today. I'm not sure this year they're as relevant as the OKC Thunder in a rebuilding year. They're just not. Belichick's system is not going to win games. Didn't win any games in Cleveland. It didn't win any games in Cleveland. Where's the great system? It didn't win his first year and a half in New England. You think Jarrett Stidham is going to... This is what killed Bobby Knight. This is what crushed Greg Popovich. When you start believing your system is so dynamic, so unbelievable, I don't need a quarterback. Brock Huard, a former college and NFL quarterback, we talked about Jarrett Stidham. He called his games. He watched him. And if he's so great, why did Belichick want to boot Brady for Garoppolo and yet wanted Brady instead of Stidham? An older Brady, a less dynamic Brady. Brock Huard, I asked him, you saw Jarrett Stidham in college. You saw him. What did you think?
The one concern I always have, fair or unfair, biased or not, is just a sense of urgency out of some of those Southern quarterbacks, man. Is there just that sense of urgency? Like, I'm going to take this thing over. This is my team. Now, he has the one head coach that will light that urgency flame every single day, every practice. Did with Tom for two decades. Certainly has cranked it up on Jarrett and must feel like he's got that toughness to him. But I would agree with you, as far as the raw goods go, I don't think even comparing him to Jimmy Garoppolo in all of those areas, arm, athleticism, size. Yeah, I don't think he checks as many boxes as Jimmy does.
So yesterday, let's shift to Dis and Dak. So we did a game because Dak Prescott yesterday, his agent, they want $35 million a year. That's the Russell Wilson contract. He's not close to Russell Wilson. He's not as good an athlete. He doesn't have the arm. I mean, there are some stats. I saw a stat yesterday that said, he is the best deep ball passer Dak Prescott in the NFL. All right, dig a little deeper on the Dak stats. Here's a stat on Dak. He's the second quarterback in the last 15 years to throw 30 touchdowns and have zero game-winning drives. Dak kicked the living you-know-what last year out of the Redskins and Giants. He had almost half his touchdown passes against those guys. In his career, he's 13-3 against the Giants and the Redskins, who have both been rebuilding his entire career in Dallas. Dak is also 0-8 last year, trailing at half. He doesn't have the ability, when teams know he's going to throw, to lead them back. He's good with a running game. He's good with a lead. He's good on play action. Dak is Kirk Cousins. Nobody likes Kirk Cousins. But Kirk Cousins is way cheaper now than what Dak wants to get paid. What's the difference? They both have excellent, excellent supporting cast talent offensively. They both have big stats, but when you deep dive on both their stats, they're great against bad teams and not very good against good teams. And quarterbacks are defined in this league not against Cleveland, but against the Ravens. The difference now between Dak and Kirk Cousins, Kirk's actually more accurate, and Kirk is willing to take a moderate pay change. Once Dak says, I want $35 million, my criticism gets much harsher. Dak at $29 million, got your back. Dak at $35, $45 at the end, no thank you. He wins in the regular season. Andy Dalton has a winning regular season record. In a salary cap league, highly compensated quarterbacks don't win. Brady takes pay cuts. Drew Brees takes pay cuts. This is the way it works. The minute you pay your quarterback a lot of money, big trouble. It doesn't work. You can't fill the spots. So when people say you're harsh on Dak, I was a much bigger fan of Dak until the money changed. He wants a Russell Wilson contract. He's not Russell Wilson. He has made a living. I mean, what 4 years, one playoff win. Isn't the knock on Kirk Cousins, who nobody likes, right? Everybody's always banging on Kirk Cousins. You know, he's good, but he never wins the games against the good teams. That's become Dak. I want to see Dak in week 3 at Seattle. I want to see Dak in week 13 at Baltimore. I want to see Dak against the 49ers defense. Because the PFF today says the Cowboys have the third best wide receiving core. Receiving core? I didn't think the receiving core is nearly as good as their running back or their own line. Their receiving core's top three? So it's not that I'm anti-Dak, but once you're now demanding Russell Wilson money, everything changes. It's just like my kids. I don't get mad at my kids much. But if their demands are, I want $500 a month allowance, we got a problem. If you want $5 a week allowance, $25, but you're asking for this, then dad's got a problem with it. When the bigger your ask, you have to be so exceptional in pro sports or my criticism ramps up. So when I look at the numbers, I look at Dak, I see Kirk Cousins. But Kirk now, he does not have a prohibitive contract. Jimmy Garoppolo no longer has a prohibitive contract. When you're making close to 28, other guy asks for 35. At the end, you want 45. Of course my criticism goes up. What we bang on Cousins for is what Dak's become. Trails at half, game over. Against the good teams, forget it. Beats up on the Giants and Redskins. In fact, I saw a stat here. I want to make this. Last year, half his touchdown passes, Dak's. 14 of 30 were against the Giants and Redskins. I mean, come on. That's the knock on Cousins. He's great against the Lions. He's great, you know. So, you know, when I picked, and I said yesterday, I picked Cousins over him. It wasn't like, I had paused. It was like, but I start thinking about Cousins. He's more accurate. And he's taken a little bit of a, he's renegotiated his deal. You got to think about everything now. I got to, and so, you know, there's the numbers for you right there on the graph. For the radio audience, they don't hear it, but put those numbers up so I can read these again, if you could. I mean, just look at the numbers. Dak last year against playoff teams is 1-6. He's 7-2 against the garbage teams. He's 8 touchdowns, 8 picks against good teams, 22 touchdowns, 3 picks against the garbage teams. What do you want? If I did a blind resume, you'd say that's Kirk Cousins. So if I'm going to be hard on Kirk Cousins, and by the way, I blistered Kirk Cousins for 2 years when he was making like 28 and 28 men something. Now 28's a break. If you could have a starting quarterback at 28, and Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, you know, you get into that kind of good, solid, top 15-ish guy. They're good players. They're nice players. Derek Carr's a nice player. I mean, Kirk Cousins is a nice player. I don't think he's, you know, elite, but that number to me on Dak changes everything. It's like, no, I'll take Andy Dalton. I'll take Andy Dalton's 85% of him. Good old line. I'll save the $30 million. You know, it just changes everything. Everything does. You know, when you go in to get a buy a house, buy a car, buy anything, that's a nice looking carpet. Not for $9,000, it's not. $900, it's unbelievable. So I mean, we all have salary caps on our budgets. So do teams. The bigger the ask, the bigger the criticism.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Cam Jordan's entering his 10th NFL season. He's already been a Pro Bowler for half of them. 15 sacks last year, career high, tied for third most in the NFL. Taking part in the Madden 20 tournament tomorrow night on FS1, raising money for Feeding America and those affected by COVID-19. So let's go talk to Cam Jordan via the Coward Global Satellite Network. All-Pro Saints defensive end. All right, let's start with this. Where are you right now this second?
I'm finishing up rehab. Look, I'm one of the few, the proud, the enabled to walk into this facility and get rehab from our amazing training staff and seemingly, still be able to train, lift, and try and get back to top form by season. So, I mean, it sort of ended my off season quick. I mean, I had a quick surgery on my adductors, a little core surgery, and then I've been training, rehabbing since. So I almost loved The Last Dance just because it was like after, you know, Michael Jordan lost in the finals, he went next day into weightlifting. And I feel just like that. I've been lifting weights and trying to get better each and every day since.
Now, let me ask you, Cam, you know, you've made some good money in this league. You may have a gym at home. You have opportunities that maybe a rookie does not. Do you believe you're in the kind of shape, or your teammates, do you think, in the same kind of shape you are now?
Absolutely. I've been in numerous phone calls with all of my teammates, and everybody's training however they can get it, whether that be, you know, finding some remote piece of grass that they can tear up or, you know, they have their own backyard. Everybody's getting it with the same mentality that we've got to strive and push ourselves farther than we did the year before.
So a story came out yesterday that Taysom Hill is your guy. And I said to start my show today is 5 years ago, I look at Taysom Hill and I think, I don't know if that's an NFL quarterback. But now I watch guys like Josh Allen and Lamar, guys running around, and I look and I think, well, why not? I mean, guys run around all the time now. It's almost like you have to run. You've seen a lot of Taysom Hill. I worry about he gets hit. He runs around. Do you worry all if he's the guy eventually, he puts himself in harm's way?
I mean, mobile quarterbacks has definitely been the wave since Mike Vick. It's very rare to catch pocket passers like, you know, the premier Drew Brees or Tom Brady type. When you think about mobile quarterbacks, you've had everybody out there from, you know, again, Mike Vick, Alex Smith was mobile in the pocket. You know, Russell Wilson, the Cam Newton was the biggest one, MVP type. Mahomes, Lamar, and Lamar is different. I don't know if I've seen a quarterback with his speed since rookie RG3.
Yeah, I think I think he's faster than RG3 actually.
In a straight line.
Yeah.
When I'm talking about rolling out, taking cuts, and then, you know, coming around the corner, I don't think there's anybody going as fast as Lamar and RG3. But Taysom, for sure, straight line downhill, when he's covering the kickoff, he can get downright blazing. From everything that, you know, Taysom brings to the table, if the organization says he's the guy, then he's the guy. I don't have to worry about it. We still got Drew. If Drew goes down, we have Taysom, who has been dubbed the guy, and Jameis Winston, who we all know can go for 30 touchdowns.
By the way, have you talked to Jameis Winston? Have you seen him?
I've talked to him previously. I haven't talked to him since he signed with the team. I should probably do due diligence and do that. That's probably my fault. I was probably just overly excited knowing that he was coming our way. I was rooting for either him to come our way or somehow, you know, Cam Newton. I feel like we're in, you know, phenomenal hands with Drew. And if one day Drew decides to step down, then we have the next heir apparent, which,
yeah,
then it's a good battle to have.
Yeah. By the way, so Tom Brady is in your division. The second you knew Tom Brady was in your division, what was your first thought?
The second he got into our division, I was like, ooh, the most epic games are happening each, you know, twice a year now. You've got Tom Brady versus Drew Brees. And then automatically I saw Tampa Brady was in copyrights already. And I was like, that makes sense. They're officially Tampa Brady's. And then then he did the magic conch shell and Gronk appeared out of nowhere. And I was like, yeah, I understand what they're trying to do here. They've got to go from bottom of the NFC South to, you know, second place of the NFC South. That's great for them. We'll still be here.
You watched the Jordan documentary as a professional athlete and a great one. What struck you? What was your takeaway watching it?
It was sort of just reaffirmed everything that I knew about Michael Jordan, everything that I, you know, knew he was going into. Once you're part of the locker room, you understand, you know, when you have alphas in the room, alphas are going to do what they have to do to make sure that everybody's up to standard. And it seemed like Michael Jordan was whatever the team needed him to be. If they needed him to be that villain to push you a little bit further, and I say villain just in practice, antagonizing people, pushing people to their brinks, but also bringing the best out in them, that's sometimes the leader that you need. And, you know, if anything, it brought me the sound mind that says, hey, you know, it's okay to be that type of a go-getter. You have that mentality is where I got to push myself. And by pushing myself, I have to push all of my teammates to elevate their game. And then you can have guys, you know, guys like a Scottie Pippen or guys like whoever to be sort of that resounding character. Like, hey, this is what we're going to do, you know, to corral morale.
You know, it's funny, Cam, I'm thinking about this. Basketball coach, you know, the NBA is not a yell at the player league. Football coaches I played high school. Football's a yell at the player league. Have you been in locker rooms where there is a lot of conflict, where there is guys that yell and lead? Is that normal in the NFL? Because it feels like Michael's very rare in the NBA where he's dogging teammates. But in the NFL, take me there. Do you see more of that?
Of course. I mean, the ongoing joke is, you know, they're not football tough. There's a reason why, you know, every football player thinks he's a basketball player and not every basketball thinks he's a football player. You know, you can't teach size, so that's basketball, but you can't teach, you know, heart and grit, and just the different everyday atmosphere you're going to be in a locker room is going to be completely different than you are going to be in basketball. But at the same time, you know, competitive spirit is competitive spirit.
Yeah, so we got into this discussion yesterday. So Joy Taylor's brother is a Hall of Fame football player, and there was a story that LeBron could play in the NFL, and I said, timeout, timeout, timeout. LeBron James is not going to block defensive ends. He don't want to get hit in the ribs. I don't want to hear how big and fast he is. I've seen a lot of big, fast guys. I mean, I watch UFC fights. The tiniest guys are sometimes unbelievable tough guys. So when I hear basketball guy can play in the NFL, I roll my eyes at it. Now, Tony Gonzalez did it, but Tony's tough and Tony liked to block. If I say to you, LeBron in the NFL, he lines up right over you, what do you think?
What position? When you say right up over me, he must be a tight end.
Yes.
If he's an offensive lineman, he's done. As a tight end, yeah, it's probably over for him. As long as he spaces out and, you know, doesn't catch anything over the middle, maybe he just, you know, is a street guy. If you send him on goes, I think that would be your best bet. Make him a red zone tight end. Just stick him to the end zone so he doesn't catch anything over the middle, so he doesn't have a safety coming downhill. He could possibly have success there.
See?
If you say, hey, you got to go run these posts, you got to go run an end, I've got four guys that's going to take out your, you know, going to take out the body that you care so much about. And I don't know if you've been banged out on the basketball court like you're going to get banged up in 16 games in football.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is what we talked about yesterday. See, this is exactly what I think. Is I don't think basketball players, you know, they bounce off a 6'11 skinny guy, go over the middle once in the NFL. Gronk couldn't stay healthy. Gronk was 265, couldn't stay healthy. I mean, the league is so brutal. Okay, you're in this Madden NFL virtual tournament tonight. Tell me about it.
Look, it's huge. This Madden tournament is sort of sponsored, and there's going to be a couple different NFL stars in here. And I'm going against, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, look, I'm going against a kid who clearly has too much time on his hands because he's pretty great at NFL, at Madden, is what I've been told. So I'm overly excited to, you know, try and create revenue, to create a platform for us to push out our donations into this world. And in this time right now, what we have going on is opportunities. As we're all sitting down in our home, we're all fixated on how do we go to the next step or how do we push further. And this is an avenue to, you know, create positivity in this world.
Cam Jordan Saints, I love talking to you, man. Always appreciate you giving time for us. Good luck on your rehab. Good luck.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on as always.